Today to Psalm 84. We're talking about the blessed life. How many of you understand that this journey of living a faith life, this journey of walking with God, this journey of following God, this journey of saying yes to Jesus on a daily basis is a journey that brings great blessing to your life? Would you lift up your hand if that's what you believe today? I believe that with all of my heart. I believe in the blessing and the favor of God. Timothy believes in it. Bryony believes in it. Why don't you stand to your feet, you two wonderful people? These two amazing human beings. They said yes to each other just the other week and were married and have become husband and wife and celebrated. We love you guys. God bless you. Give them a big round of applause. Good to see you in church today. They believe in a blessed life. Don't you, Bryony? You believe in it? Don't you, Timothy? You believe in it? We believe in a blessed life. Thank you. Why don't you sit down? We believe in a blessed life. We believe that God wants to pour out His blessings upon us. And His blessing is a calling and an invitation. It's a calling and an invitation to live this blessed life. Psalm 84 puts it this way. It's a psalm that talks all about the blessing and the favor and the goodness of God. It says, blessed and greatly favored. Blessed and greatly favored are those who dwell in your house and your presence. I think that when you love the house of God and the God of the house, when you love God and you love His house and you follow Him and you live for Him and you have His word and spirit working in your heart and in your life, then you are blessed. And not only blessed, you are greatly favored by God. And it says that you'll be singing your praises all the day long. That's why we sing in church. That's why we don't go to a church where you just stand there. That's why we don't go to a church where you just sit down with your arms crossed. That's why we don't go to a church and have people on stage to do it all. That's why we go to a church and we lift our hands up. That's why we go to a church and we have a bit of a jump and a skip and we're a little bit excited and enthusiastic about what God's doing in the house of the Lord. That's why we go to church to get physically fit, spiritually fit, be vibrant, be passionate, be happy, be engaged, be excited, be involved, get activated. That's why we come to the house of God. That's good for you. Try that. Who says preaching wasn't hard work? It's a good deal. It's a good deal to live in the house of God and to love the house of God and also the God of the house. The psalmist goes on to say, O Lord of hosts, how blessed and how greatly favored is the man or the woman who trusts in you, who's believing in you, who's relying on... I don't know who you're believing in today. I don't know who you're relying on, but if it's God, this is good news. It says, blessed and greatly favored is the man or woman who trusts in you, who's believing in you, relying on you, and has committed himself or herself to you with confident hope and expectation. Anyone full of confident hope and expectation today? Come on. Full of confident hope and full of expectation for what God might do. Blessed means this. And we've got to say what it means because a lot of people don't know what it means when you say the word blessed. Blessed means to be happy, fortunate, and to be envied. To be happy, to be fortunate, and to be envied. You've got a right to be happy today. You've got a right to be fortunate and to feel fortunate about your life, your world, your circumstances today. And a right to feel envied today, because that is what it means to be a blessed person. Do you know, our relationship with God, it didn't start and it doesn't continue based on rules and regulations. And we need to understand that. This relationship, this journey, this walk, this faith world that God has us involved in, it's not based, it never was based on rules and regulations for us as New Testament believers. It's based on relationship. It was always based on relationship. Even in the Old Testament, it was still based on relationship, promises, and blessing. And blessing is the foundation of our life and journey and walk with God. As we walk with God and journey with God, we are blessed. In Genesis, it tells us the story of Abram, who goes on to become Abraham, the father of all those that would come into a faith relationship with God. It says this, the Lord said to Abram when he appeared to him, leave your country, leave your relatives and your father's family and go to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. He's speaking to one man. And he says, I will make you a great nation. And notice the words, I will bless you. I will bless you. And I'll make you famous. and you will be a blessing to others. Do you know God blesses you for a good reason, and that reason is other people. The blessing is not actually about you. It's not actually about me. It's not about us. It's about others. There's always an overflow for the blessing of God. And God continues to say to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will place a curse on those who harm you, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. That's why Abram is called the father of our faith, because he was the first. He was the first to have this walk with God. And God told him, leave everything that's familiar. Go to a land that I'm going to show you. You don't even know it yet. And when you get there, you're going to be blessed. Your family's going to be blessed. You're going to bless everybody as a result of this journey that you have with me. The blessing will overflow to many people. And so the blessings of Abraham, they become our blessings. Like as you read this journey of Abram with God, who becomes Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, God says to him, another covenant, and God says, I am your shield, and not only your shield, I am your exceedingly great reward. And you're going to have offspring as numerous as the stars, as numerous as the sand that's on the seashore, on the beach, or the desert. That's the number of family and offspring that you're going to have. And God spoke that to a man who was married to a woman, and they were barren as a couple at that time, and they were of mature age, and it seemed very unlikely, improbable, even impossible that this would be achieved in the natural. But God works way above what we see. God works way above what we feel. God works way beyond our experience, in a realm we know not, in a realm we see not, in a realm we understand not. But the thought is, God works. Everyone say, God works. God works. God works. And God worked in Abram's life, changed his name to Abraham, and he became the father of our faith. And in the New Testament, this is what the Apostle Paul says about Abram, who became Abraham. He says, the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. All those who put their faith in God, they are literally the children of Abraham, is Paul's argument as he writes to the church in Galatia. And he says, so all who put their faith in Christ, they share the same blessing that Abraham received because of his faith. Notice the wording. All those who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing as their father Abraham because of Abraham's faith. Because of Abraham's faith, we are blessed. Because Abraham went on a journey, went on a walk. When we come into this family of God through relationship and through saying yes to Jesus, we receive all the same blessings of Abraham. So that means I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out. That means I'm the head, that means I'm not the tail. That means I'm blessed in the country, I'm blessed in the city, I'm blessed in the field, I'm blessed with whatever I do, and I am greatly favored. That's the word of the Lord for every one of us. There's blessing and there's favor for us as we continue to journey with God. You know, Christianity is not a burden full of laws. It's not a burden full of laws. It's not about the do's and the don'ts. It's about a relationship and a walk with God. It's about his blessing and favor surrounding us and pursuing us. It's not about God keeping anything from you or taking all the fun out of your life. It's not about that at all. Christianity is actually about God getting his very best to you and for you. That's what the journey of life is about with God. In Numbers 6, it says this as God spoke to Moses. It says, the Lord said to Moses, instruct Aaron and his sons to bless the people. Everyone say, bless the people. Bless the people. This verse has become a verse that has characterized the way that I want to do the ministry journey as a pastor, as a team leader, to bless the people. This verse was spoken, these words were uttered over Aaron's life as a priest in his day. They were literally, Aaron and his family were the sons, were the pastors of the day in the children of Israel. And the instructions given to them were, bless the people of Israel with this special blessing, with this special blessing. And the blessing was this. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor. And may the Lord give you his peace. What a beautiful blessing. Do you know my job? And there are a lot of people that want to tell me my job. A lot of people that think they know what my job is. I only have one job. And that is to bless the people. That's my job. My job is to tell you how good you are. My job is to tell you how amazing God is. My job is to tell you how wonderful God's love is towards you and I. Like the Apostle Paul says, and he speaks about the inexhaustible riches and treasures that there are in the love of God. How God has abandoned himself in a reckless manner to lavishly pour out his love upon us. That God would not hold anything back to get to you to redeem your life and to redeem your world. That God loves you like a special treasure and he wants to fill, the psalmist says, all the rooms of your life in your house with precious riches and treasures that come from relationship with and in Jesus Christ. And that's my mission. But occasionally, I have people come to me occasionally and say, Pastor, you're way too nice. You're way too nice. You're too nice on people. You're too easy on people. You should just give it to them every now and then. You know, you should tell them really what you need to tell them, because that's what they think I need to tell them. And call it out on them and tell them, you know, about how bad they are and you know, the curse on their life and this or that or whatever. Do you know, that's not my job. My job is to bless the people with a special blessing. To unfold the truth that people can be set free, they can be affirmed, they can be favored, they can be blessed by the hand of God. They can live in that. To remind people that we're all children of God, no matter what space in life you're at, no matter what cage life has you in today, no matter what your circumstance might be yelling at you and screaming at you, that you are a favored, blessed child, son, daughter of God. I'm here to tell people how much God loves them. I'm here to tell people how much God is for them. I'm here to tell people how much God adores them, how much he's smitten by them. I'm here to tell them that the favor and the love and the blessing of God knows no bounds. That's what I'm here to tell people about. That's my job. That's my mission. That's my purpose. And I was thinking this week as I was launching into this thought, I was thinking about the fact that the gospel is actually called the good news. Would you note that? It's called the good news. You know, the gospel is actually God's story. It's not ours. It's his story. It's his story. It's not actually a story about how bad we are. It's a story about how good God is. That's what the gospel is. It's a story about how good God is. It's not a story about how bad we are. Some want to make it about how bad we are. I want to make it about how good God is. We know how bad we are. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know. I know how bad you are. We know. We know you're bad, right? We know that. We get that. We know we fail. We know we sinned. We know we're in a lifestyle pattern heading towards hell, lost without God, and we're in need of redemption. We know that. But what we don't know is how good God is. See, we know us. We always know us. We might try and deny us, but we know us. We know us. What we don't know and what we really don't understand is the depth of God's love and favor and goodness and blessing towards us. So a few thoughts I have for us today in terms of that. Firstly, I want us to understand it's God's nature to bless his people. It's God's nature to bless his people. That's why those words were spoken to the priest of the day, to Aaron and the sons, was that they would bring this special blessing to the people, because that was God's heart. God wanted to get the blessing to them, and God still wants to get the blessing to you and I today. You know, the truth is that must become part of our worldview, our belief system, the way we think, our life experience must be revolving around that. That I am God's blessed child. I am God's blessed child. I am greatly favored by the hand of God. Does that mean I won't have trouble? No. Does that mean I won't have pain? No. Does that mean I won't have circumstances? No. But in it all, through it all, and beyond it all, I am favored and I am blessed by God. Whatever life brings my way, whatever they say, we sung it today. There's another in the fire. There's someone holding back. You don't know what God's holding back from you. You have no idea what you've missed out on. No idea what God has kept you from. What he has kept away from your world, because there's another in the water holding it back. Or there's another in the fire protecting you. Thank God for God. Thank God for God, that God's nature is to bless us and be good to us and be gracious to us and to have us live in his favor. You know, I've met a lot of people, and a lot of Christians for that matter, a lot of faith people, a lot of Bible-believing, partially people. Have you ever met a partially believing Bible person? It means they believe the parts they like, but other parts they don't. I've met a lot of people in that kind of zone where their view of God is that God is a God of the Ten Commandments, of the thou shalt nots, and they don't really see God as being this extravagant, lavish, loving God who wants to fill our lives with his favor and his goodness and his blessing. The truth is, God is eager to bless. eager to bless. And don't ever allow mean-spirited Christians, mean-spirited believers — those words should not go together, but they sometimes do — don't ever allow a mean-spirited believer or a narrow-minded believer to try and define your world, your circumstance and your life by how they see it as opposed to how God sees it. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He sees things differently to we think. And God's got you on a journey, my friend. He's asked you to leave some things. He's asked you to walk away from some things. He's asked to take you to a place you don't know, just like Abram. And the deal is, whenever God's got you on a journey, he provides for you all the way. His blessing, his favor, it'll surround you. It will pursue you, because God's nature is to bless his people. My second thought is, blessings follow blessed people. Blessings follow blessed people. Blessings follow blessed people. Do you know, we should carry our blessing into our workplace, into every space that we are involved in. The blessing that's on us overflows, because that's what happens when you're blessed. When you're blessed, you're a blessing to your workplace. You're a blessing to your boss. You're a blessing to your management. You're a blessing to the people that employ you. There's a man in the Bible, his name's Jacob. And Jacob was a blessing wherever he went. And he was employed by Laban, his uncle. He was in a bit of strife, and he ran to his uncle's house to live for a while. And he got there and started working for his uncle. And Laban said, after some time, he said, "Please don't leave me," because Jacob wanted to leave. He said, "Please don't leave me." And Laban replied, for I've learned by divination, I've learned by mysterious methods that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Like, duh. The blessing that was on his life, he only just realized that through divination. He didn't need divination to see that it was Jacob that had brought the blessing into his world and into his flocks. And Jacob replied, "You know how hard I've worked for you, how keen I've been to increase your world. You know how your flocks and your herds have grown under my care. You have had little indeed before I came, but your wealth has increased enormously, and the Lord has blessed you through everything." Would you say those words with me? "I've done." You say, "I've done"? "I've done." You know, everything you do should bring blessing to others. Everything you do should bring blessing to others. There should be blessing that flows out from your world, your zone, your space, your life, to bring blessing into other people's lives. And for Jacob, he brought great blessing to his boss, to Laban. There are a lot of Labans out there that we work for that need to see the blessing and the favor of God that's on us, because we're just so good. You are so good. You are so good. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are so good. You are so good at what you do. You bring blessing. You bring favor to this." A blessing follows blessed people. Next, we've got Joseph in the Old Testament, who was a man that, well, let's just say his life was like a country and western song. It really was. There's a lot of heartache. His brothers didn't like him. They beat him up because he had a vision from God and he shared it with them. So his brothers beat him up and threw him in a pit, and they sold him to slave traders. He was taken off to Egypt. He ends up at the house of Mr. and Mrs. Potiphar, who was an important official in Egypt in the time. And here he is working for Mr. Potiphar and Mrs. Potiphar. And the Bible says this. It says, "The Lord was with Joseph, and so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master." Can I stop there? It doesn't matter where they put you, you can be blessed. It doesn't matter where they put you. You might be working for Mr. Potiphar today. You might be working for Mrs. Potiphar today. You might have been beaten up by your family. You might have been thrown out by your family. You might have been put in the pit of life. You can even be there, and God will see that you're advanced, and God will see that you're successful, and God will see that you're blessed. It said Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything that he did. This pleased Potiphar, and so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant, and he put him in charge of his entire household and everything that he owned. From that day on, Joseph was put in charge of the master's household and property. And the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household. So Potiphar was blessed because of Joseph, for Joseph's sake. And all of his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and his livestock, they flourished. Most of you are familiar with this story of Joseph, how this wasn't the last pit stop for him. This wasn't the last pit stop. He had a pit stop in the pit when they beat him up. He had a pit stop at Potiphar's house just before he went to the next pit stop, which was prison. And even in prison, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph there too, and the Lord blessed him and favored him. The Lord blessed him and favored him. It doesn't matter where they put you. Where they put you is not about the blessing. The blessing is on you because of who you are and because of whose you are. The blessing has nothing to do with where you are. So don't interpret your blessing today with where you are, because the blessing is about who you are and whose you are, not where you are. In actual fact, where you are is just where you are. Where you are is not who you are. I love that statement. Where you are is not who you are. So build blessed people into your life. Be around blessed people. I think it's one of the best things about a connect group in church world. I think it's one of the best things about being here on a Sunday and being part of a church community and being consistent in that. I'm going to surround myself with blessed people. I want to be around people that understand the blessing of God. I want to stay connected to blessed people. Why? Because blessing has an overflow. There's a presence. There's an atmosphere. There's an environment that blessed people create. I love the atmosphere that follows around blessed people. I love the way they talk. I love the way they walk. I love the way they do the journey. As opposed to mean-spiritedness, I detest it. As opposed to small-mindedness, I don't want anything to do with it. It's so small. It's so life-debilitating. It's so lame to be involved in that lane. Get in the lane with blessed people. Blessed people. All those that are in the household of faith in the family of God are blessed and greatly favored. My last thought on blessing is that blessing flows through positioning. Blessing flows through how we position ourselves in life. Firstly, it starts by saying yes to Jesus, being positioned in the family of God. This is what I mean by God gives us the invitation and the calling to be blessed. All of us are invited into the family of God. God is non-judgmental in terms of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's an invitation for everybody. It's a calling for everybody to live the blessed life. It's our choice to embrace and engage God in that. God, when he died on the cross of Calvary, did so for every human being. It didn't matter the color of their skin, the language they spoke, their socioeconomic situation. None of that comes into play. All that matters is that you're a human being. And so if you're a human being today, no matter what your journey has been till this point in time, I want you to know and understand God's given you a calling and God has given you an opportunity to launch into and to be birthed into and walk into this blessed life. And it starts with saying yes to Jesus. Most people in this room have said yes to Jesus. How do you say yes to Jesus? You just surrender to him. You surrender him to him. I'm putting my hand up because that's what we do in our church. In our church, when you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we give people an opportunity to say yes. We ask them to put their hand up and to say yes to Jesus and to pray a prayer. We call it, Renee talked about it before when she gave that amazing story about being a missionary in Morocco, that saying yes to Jesus involves saying the sinner's prayer, which means, God, I'm sorry for my sins and I want to receive your blessed life. Come into my life and help me to walk with you like Abram. I want to become a child of God. I want to walk this faith journey. I want to live this blessed life. I want to be a new person. I want to have a new start. I want it to be a new beginning and I want it to be a new day. That's what God does. Why wouldn't you say yes to that? That's all good news. It's all good news. Why wouldn't you align yourself with that? Why wouldn't you embrace that? Why wouldn't you engage that, being positioned to journey with God into this blessed life? So it starts with saying yes to Jesus. If you've not said yes to Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that at the conclusion of our service today. Secondly, it continues through remaining positioned. You know, we know that in the world of sport, you can be found out of position. And there's nothing worse than being found out of position. Out of where you're supposed to be. Out of that place where you're ready to receive the ball, to score the try, whatever it might be, kick the goal. To be in position is really important in all aspects of life in terms of the alignment of our heart and our mind, our attitudes, our actions, our behaviors with the kingdom of God, allowing God to form our belief system, the way we think about life and the paradigms that we have of life. See, blessing is protection. Blessing is favor. Blessing is faith. It's peace. It's security. It's prosperity. It's being fruitful. It's flourishing in life. And I look at all that and I think, why wouldn't I position myself and posture myself for blessing? Why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I position myself deliberately and align myself to this lifestyle of blessing that God wants me to have? Because I need to, because here's the deal. I've got an enemy. We've all got an enemy of our souls that has a strategy to get us out of position. That's what his mission is, to get us out of alignment, to get us out of function, to get us out of play, to take us out of the picture, to take us out of the frame, get us out of our lane through an attitude, through a behavior, through an action, through a thought process, through a paradigm that we have. That's why it's so important to be aligned by the Word of God, by God's principles, by God's ways. And it's so easy to take yourself out of position. It's so easy to disengage. It's so easy to have your heart go out of posture and out of position and stop leaning in. It's so easy to allow your conversation to be out of position, your thoughts, your desires to be out of position with the will of God. It's so easy to allow attitudes to wander and not be right and not be workable. And so here's my encouragement, stay positioned for blessing. Stay positioned for blessing. Paul says this in Galatians 4. He says, because you Gentiles have become God's children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, the Holy Spirit. And now you can call God your dear Father or Abba Father. Now you are no longer a slave to sin, but God's own child. And since you are His child, listen to this. We read before about everything that was given to Abraham belonging to us. Now Paul continues the argument and he says, everything God has belongs to you. Everything God has belongs to you as a blessed, favored child of God. You know, the truth is we so often live in and around blessing that we've become so familiar and desensitized to it. I think that's the journey of a lot of people that have been in faith for a long time, been Christians for a long time. We're more blessed than we realize we are. We're more blessed than we actually understand because we're so conditioned. I've become so conditioned to blessing because I've been in this journey and in this family for decades and decades and decades and decades that it's just become my norm. But please understand, this is not the norm for a lot of people. It's not the norm for a lot of people. And when they come into this environment and this atmosphere of the family of God, they think, how long has this been going on and nobody told me about the good news of Jesus Christ? How come people just told me how bad I was all the time and not how good God was? You know, the goodness of God, when it collides with our badness, it makes our badness just kind of pale into insignificance with the goodness of God. That's what light does to darkness. That's what light does to darkness. It makes it disappear. It makes it disappear. And the light of God's goodness has come into our lives and it's made most of our badness disappear. You're still a little bit bad. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you now. It makes our badness disappear. God's still working on us. God's still working in us. And He needs to. We know that. Here's the thought with blessings. Don't become so familiar with them that you disregard their value. That you disregard their value. I love, there's a TV show I love. I'm addicted to it, actually. It's Storage Wars. Where people have treasures and things and they put them in storage and they forget about them. And I'm amazed at the things people forget about. The jewelry, like a Harley Davidson or a car that's worth like $100,000 in storage and they just kind of forget about it. And so the auctioneers sell off the storage unit and people buy it for, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 and I watch it and think, how can people forget about that blessing that's in there? And it's kind of a picture of what it's like for us. It's like we have barns full of blessing and we forgot that they're there. We forgot they're there, that blessing that God blessed me with. And I remember a song we used to sing eons and eons ago in church about count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. Some of you still sing this song. It's sad, isn't it? Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And I look at the words of that song and I think, am I still amazed? Am I still surprised? It's a good thing to always be amazed and always be surprised rather than to be that child that opens a Christmas present on Christmas Day and throws it on the floor in a tantrum because you didn't want it. It's like, wow, amazed at the blessing and the goodness and the favor of God that follows me. Don't ever become so familiar that it loses its sense of value, that it doesn't excite you anymore. Live in appreciation. Live in expectation of continued increased blessing and favor and goodness with God, and position yourself for maximum blessing and sustained blessing. And keep your blessing in focus at all times. Here's the thought: when our blessing is not in focus, when our blessing is out of focus, it becomes a complaint. It becomes a complaint. It's a trait from humanity. It's in us. It's a part of us. That when we lose focus of what God has done, we start to complain about what God hasn't done. And we forget of all the good things that He has literally already done in our world, or is doing in our lives. The children of Israel had this problem when God was taking them to the promised land through the desert, and God took them and He provided food for them on the journey, and they began to complain. The blessing was food in the desert. Listen, if you're in the desert, anything's a blessing if it feeds you or sustains you or waters you or hydrates you. And God provided for them, and yet they complained about how good it was when they were slaves. Really? It was that good when you were a slave? It was that good being a slave in Egypt for 400 years that you want to go back there? You know, there's nothing good about the good old days. There is nothing good about the good old days. The best days are ahead of you. The best days are ahead of you. You're not spent. You're not finished. It ain't over until... What were you thinking? It's not done. Don't live with a sense of it's spent. Have a sense of confident hope and expectation. I love Petros here. Where's Petros? I saw you just before. Welcome back, my friend. He's been on a missionary trip through Indonesia for the last 17 weeks or so. And I love the spirit that's on this man. I love the faith that's on this man. He's not retired. He's just refired. He's just finding new ways to get to the mission field. It might not be Morocco, but it's Indonesia. And he's in Indonesia and he's around strengthening the churches and strengthening the brothers and the sisters there. And he goes, he funds himself and believes in God for continued journeys and blessings and favor to do that. And he's only just arrived home, and I can bet he's planning and scheming for the next trip to go back again and again and again and again. I love that. That's a continued sense of hope, Petros, and expectation. And God bless you. Well, why don't you give him a big hand for what you're doing and continue to do in Indonesia? You are a legend. You're a legend for what you are doing. Don't ever let it become a complaint. The blessing of God. Can our team come to stage, please? Remember this. This is what Jesus promised. He told us, first of all, what the thief has come to do, what our enemy's come to do in terms of getting us out of position. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the only thing that Satan wants to do in your life, is to steal, kill, and destroy the things that God wants to bring to you. He's a taker. God is not a taker. God is not a taker. A lot of people think God's a taker. God is not a taker. The only thing God takes from you is your sin. It's the only thing He takes from you. He's a God that wants to bring goodness. And Jesus then says what it is. He said, my purpose is that I would give you a rich and satisfying life. That sounds like a blessed life to me. Literally interpreted, where it says a rich and satisfying life, in some versions it says abundant life, in other versions it says a full life. What it literally means is that God would give you a life that is maximized to its full potential as you walk with Him. It's the same promise that He gave to Abram, because it's the same God. It shouldn't be a surprise. It's the same blessing wherever He speaks it. A rich and satisfying, abundant life. It literally means a life that has the advantage. I have never seen my Christian faith as being to my disadvantage. I actually see it as being to my advantage. You don't know how advantaged you are today because of the blessing of God. It means to have a life that is over the top. Yes, I said it. Over the top. God doesn't want to just take your sins away. He wants to take your sins away and He wants to bring His life to you. But to do that, you've got to walk away from some things. Would you stand to your feet with me? You've got to walk away from some things. For Abram, he was told to go on a journey where God would take him to a land that he didn't understand. For you and I, it's not that dramatic. God's not asking you to leave your family and your friends and everything familiar with you. What He's asking you to do is to leave the relationship you have with sin and to lean into a relationship with Him. He's asking you to say yes to Jesus. Most people in this room said yes to Jesus or have said yes to Jesus over a number of years, some for a long, long time. And I can guarantee if you speak to those people, you would meet some that are really rugged and robust and have come through a lot of life. They've lived some valleys, they've lived some heartache, some pain, some hurt, but they're still going because the blessing of God has sustained them, surrounded them. And they would say to you, I have an advantageous life because of this relationship I have with Jesus Christ. Others that have just recently come to know Jesus and said yes to Jesus, they would say to you, if you've not received Him yet, they would say, don't hesitate. It's been the best thing I ever did. The best thing I ever did was say yes to Jesus. This decision I'm going to give you an opportunity to make right now is both a calling and an invitation. It's a calling from God to become part of His family. And it's an invitation to live a blessed life. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? So I'm going to give you that opportunity to say yes to Jesus. If you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never really opened up your heart to Him and asked Him to come into your heart and life, I'm going to ask you in a moment to lift up your hand nice and high and look me right in the eye. I'll see your hand, I'll acknowledge you, I'll ask you to put it down. I'm going to pray a simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer on your behalf. I'm going to ask you to own it. I'm going to pray for you. When we pray that prayer, Heaven's Holy Spirit is going to come into your heart, into your life, and begin to turn your life around. Take you on a journey of living a different life in a different way. Living in God's family with God's Spirit in your heart and life. If you've made that decision before and you've fallen well away from it and you need to come home to God today, that invitation and calling still stands for you. I want you also to raise your hand in a moment and look me right in the eye. And here's my promise. My promise is that this decision will be the greatest decision that you ever make in your life. Because the moment you make this decision, there's another that walks with you and you no longer walk alone. He's come to redeem us of our sins, ultimately one day take us to eternal life in heaven. But He's come here to help us live on this world with the kingdom of God in our hearts, to be better people. So as everyone in the room has their heads bowed, eyes closed, it's a calling, it's an invitation, and this is your moment. If you're in the room today, you want to engage with God and say yes to Jesus for the first time, or you're coming home, would you lift up your hand nice and high and let me see your hand and open your eyes so I can see your eyes. If that's you, why don't you do that right now? Don't wait for anyone else. This is your God moment. This is your God moment. God's already said yes to you. Have you said yes to Him? Have you bowed your knee, bowed your heart, and said yes to Him? Lift up your hand nice and high, last time, right across the hall, if that's you today. Thank you. Would you open your eyes? I don't know what your circumstance or situation is today, but I do know this.
God's right there with you. He's with you. He was with Joseph in prison. He was with Jacob when he went to Uncle Laban's place. He was with Abram when he got called out to go on a journey. He was with the children of Israel when they went through the desert to the promised land. He's with you. Circumstances come and circumstances go. But whatever your circumstance is right now, the truth you need to be absolutely convinced of is that there's another in the fire, there's another in the water standing next to me. Why don't you lift your hands and let's just have a God moment right now as we sing this declaration over our worlds, over our families, over our situations, over our circumstances, over those things the enemy does to try and get us out of position and disengage. Come on, sing your acknowledgement of God's presence today.